Okay, now what you're supposed to be doing, I forgot to bring books down, but if anybody wants me to at the end, I can go get a few books if you want a book. But what you should be doing is, we looked at if statements last week. Now we're starting to look at radio buttons and check boxes. So you should be doing some lookup to see radio buttons and check boxes and all that sort of stuff. Okay? So, here is radio. Okay. I'm opening the one that says Project Radio Check, which is under the one saying Chapter 4. Okay, and here's the form that comes up. So, I am picking which store I'm going to. I have radio buttons for that because I can only go to one store. Then I have what muffins I want to buy, and I have quantity. Now, this isn't terribly realistic because I got lazy, and the quantity applies to all muffins that I check. So I can't have two blueberry and one pumpkin, okay? If I want two, I get two blueberry and two pumpkin. So we're not talking very realistic, we're talking lazy. Okay, so I'm start out and I say, okay, I want to go eventually. Okay, so I'll say I want to, come on. There it is. I want to go to President's Avenue. I want blueberry, pumpkin, and I want two. So when I click calculate, it calculates my order and says, is your order correct? And I'm going to say, okay. Actually, I want that up there. So I'm saying okay, and it comes up. Okay. Now, if I say calculate and I say cancel, it comes up and says your order for 330 has been canceled. So I can either go with it or I can cancel it. Okay. And again, what you need to do is look at the things that I'm going over here and use the book or some other reference if you don't have a book, such that you can see, can learn about the things that I'm doing. Okay, so here I've got check boxes, and I actually didn't use the street. I have a later version of this where I actually use the street. But on this one, I said, okay, if checked blue dot checked. So I am checking to see if on the form where it says check blue, if it is checked, then I am taking and multiplying 0.8, because they are 80 cents apparently, times my quantity, which I've turned into an integer. I'm taking and multiplying those two together and adding it to what is in work total. When I start out, work total is zero. So 8 times 2 is $1.60, so it was $1.60. Now I want to check every one of my check boxes. And so since I want to check them all, I'm starting another if. I didn't want to do it only on an else because that doesn't make sense. They can check them all if they want to. So pumpkin was checked, so I multiply 87 times 2, and that gives me, what, $1.70. And so I now have $1.60 already in work total. I'm now adding $1.70 to it, so it comes up with $3.30. Okay? Then I check and chocolate isn't checked and grain isn't checked. Actually, I did check radio. I forgot that I checked the radio buttons. So that gives me $3.30. okay? So work total goes from $1.60, and then I add in $1.70, so it goes to $3.30. Okay? And then I don't add any more. Then I said if main check equals true, so now I'm looking at the radio buttons, and I'm saying if main check equals true, then I am going to charge a little bit more, so I'm multiplying by work total and throwing in a tax or whatever it is I'm throwing in. Else, if radio ELS is checked, I'm giving a discount, and the other one I don't do anything to. So if Main is checked, I bump it up. If Ellsbury Street is, I bump it down. And otherwise, I just leave it. Okay? So I've now got the total. I'm converting it using the two-string to a currency, so it shows up as a currency. Now I'm putting up a message box. And in the message box, I am going to take in some information, but notice that I'm assigning what I bring in to message answer. So the message box goes up, and I will put into message answer what I get as a return. So I said, show, is your order correct? Order to confirm is the title. Then I say, message box buttons. I want to put up the button that gives a both an okay and a cancel. Okay, so there are different kinds of message boxes that I can put up. It defaults to one that simply does okay. But if I want more than okay, I can go look up the types of message boxes. And I chose okay, cancel. Okay, so I'm going to get the two things of okay and cancel. And I put up the icon that shows that this is a question. Okay, so I set up the message box, and if we run this again and look at how the message box works, okay, so I had checked presidents, which meant it didn't get a discount, and I'd said two, and then I say calculate, and that's the button that comes up. So the first thing that comes up, is your order correct, is right here. The second thing that comes up, order to confirm, is the title up at the top. The message box buttons, I've got an okay and a cancel, and the message box icon, I've got the question mark. Okay, so I can set up the message box, and that's what I did there. And then I click on OK. Okay. So then I click on OK, and then it has put a code into message box that tells whether the user did okay or cancel. So I am now saying in message answer, and I put in windows.forms.dialogresult.cancel. So that's my way of checking and seeing if they hit cancel. If they hit cancel, then I clear out the total and I put up a message box that says, your order for, and then I put up the amount, and then I put up a control character has been canceled. This control character, carriage control line fee, moves down to the next line. So let's see that one again. Okay. So if I say calculate, and it came up with, is your order correct? Again, following all that specification that I set up. now, instead of doing that, I'm going to hit cancel. So if I hit cancel, it comes up and says, your order for 3:30 has been canceled. Okay, so I said, your order for, and then the 3:30 is right there. And then I did a carriage control line feed that moves down to the next line, and I wrote, has been canceled. So that's the way that I make a two-line message here. Okay, notice I just put out, I didn't put out a title on this one. So this is how I can go about setting up the characters, the message boxes, and getting results. So I set up a message box, asked if it was correct. If they chose to cancel, then I'm zeroing out the total and putting up a message box that says your order's been canceled. Okay. So if I come down here and put up message, message box dot show. And it comes up and gives you some hints. Okay, so the first thing it says is display a message box and specify text. And so that's what they want you to put up first. Okay, so you put something in there. And then you hit the comma and it tells you the next thing to put up. And it keeps going through and helping you to write this message box. Okay? 2 of 21 I'm now on. So there's a lot of stuff you can put in a message box. So I'm going to put in here, hi, or something like that. And then I put a comma, and it comes up and says, okay, now what do you want to do? So it just keeps leading me through setting up the message box. Okay? So again, I would recommend that this is the kind of thing that you go and look up and make sure that you have read about how to do these. Okay? This is an you should be going through my examples and either checking them out in the textbook or online. And again, you don't have to buy the textbook. You can use any textbook you want to, or you can use online. But the things that I'm going over in here, you should be going out and checking. So what we're seeing on this one is radio buttons, check boxes, and message boxes. We've gotten into all three of those. So those are the things that you should be looking at. So if I go and look at the design, okay, there is Main Street, and it is set up as a radio button. So I dragged a radio button over when I set that up. Okay, here is Blueberry, and that is set up as a checkbox. Okay, so that's a checkbox. This was a radio button. Yeah.
Clearly I missed, but an understore, the label store, and you have all the radio buttons there.
Yes.
What is that? Is that just a simple label, or?
That's a pick one of those outline boxes.
Okay.
That goes around, and the easiest way to find out what things are is to go click on it, and when I click on it, it comes back and tells me that's a group box.
Yeah.
So I can use that to group things. Okay? If you see something on the form that you don't recognize, just come over here and click on it, and you've got a grouping. So that's a group box, and I put three radio buttons in the group box, which group them. So those all go together. Okay, and there's all the information you can put in about a group. And each of these is a radio button. These are check boxes, and I also group those into, so we have another group box where I group the check boxes into groups. So in here, I again went through and I checked the radio buttons and I checked the check boxes. With the radio buttons, I used an if-else because only one of those can be true. With the check boxes, I used separate ifs because all of them can be true. Okay, and I want to get a total, so the way I can accumulate a total here is if it's checked, I do the calculation and add it to total. If it's checked, I do the calculation and add it to total. And I keep going through that way, always adding to total. Okay. And then the message boxes. And those you definitely want to look up. There are a whole kind of load of different kinds of message boxes. As I said, the default one is the okay only. Okay, but if you want other kinds of message boxes, you can go look them up. Somewhere hidden out on the web is a list of those. Microsoft's help has become too much. There are things that are too hard to find. Okay. I'm actually curious. Message box icon. If I do something simple like that, message box icon visual basic. That it looks like. Okay, so there's okay boxes, there's a yes, no box. They're not really showing me the icons, which I wanted. But there's a yes, no box, there's a yes, no cancel box. So those are some of the boxes that they have. The reason I would take a book is because I really... That should have gotten me some easy answers. Okay, there's one about how to create them, and that probably goes in and explains them. And that gives you some icons. But there isn't as good a set of references out here as there is for some languages. And the problem is, as I said, that it's got overly complex. It used to be really good, but then they kept adding and adding and adding, and now things are just very difficult to find. Okay, the other one I wanted to look at, and I'm trying to remember which one it is, and then I wanted to have you take some time to do an assignment. So, file, close, solution. And I'm going to quickly look and see which one I wanted. I think it might be other decisions. Yeah, that's the one I wanted. Okay, so if this one... I am checking a grade.
So let me run it and just show you what happens, because this isn't all together. This is just trying different things. So if I type in a name up there, it takes it and puts it in two other places, and then it tells me that the length of the name was 3. Okay? So that's telling me the length of the name is 3. If I put up a 5-character name and click Get Name, it puts it in the two places and tells me that it's 5. Okay. Then I'm going in here and I'm putting Enter Building - Room. So K101. Okay. And I say Get Just Number, and it extracts the 101. Okay. Then for grade, I said, let's say 4, click for grade, and it's elementary school, use case, and it finds it again as elementary school. If I put a lowercase k here, it comes back as kindergarten on both of these. Okay? So that's what I accomplish on this one. And so we'll look at how I do it. Okay, the first button is button grade. So they're kind of not in order, but we'll look at button grade first. The first thing I'm asking is, what you entered here, is it numeric? So I can make this is numeric test. And that's another new thing we haven't seen before, I don't think. So I'm making the is numeric test. And I'm saying, if what is in the text box for the grade, and right now I've got a K in it, if it is numeric, then process. Else. So what I've got in there now is a K, so I'm taking the else. And the else is saying, if textgrade.text, and I'm saying convert to lower. So whatever I've typed in there, I know it's not a number. So now I'm saying convert it to lower. So if I type an uppercase K, it would work okay, because I'm converting it to lower before I check. And that to lower and the comparable to upper are really good things, because you need to realize that your user may not be as case sensitive as the computer is. And so if you convert it to the case you want, then you're better off. So I'm saying convert whatever they type in there to K, and then put out the word kindergarten. Anything else that's not numeric is invalid. So if I put a B in there, okay, it shows invalid entry. If I put an uppercase K there, it's fine, because it converted to lower. If I put a number in there, it's also fine, because I have it's handled up at the top where I'm handling numerics. So I said up here, if it's numeric, then check. If it's greater than 12, then write out college. Okay? If it's not greater than 12, then I am checking to see if it is greater than 8. And if it's greater than 8, I'm writing out high school. And if it's not, then I'm checking to see if it's greater than 6. And if it's 6, greater than 6, I'm putting out middle school. Otherwise, I'm putting out elementary school. This is done with something new as well. This is the else if. This is not an else with an if. It's an else if. Okay? And the else if lets me just keep checking the same field. And there's only one end if. If I've had an else and then, an if and then an if inside it and then an if inside it, then I would need 3 end ifs. okay? Doing it this way, I only need one and if. Okay? So an else if lets me check and say, if it's this, else if it's this, else if it's this, else, this is kind of the default catch-all. If nothing else works, then that's where it will go, is to that last else. And then I put in one and if. Okay? If I was using regular ifs, I'd be using one, two, three ifs, and I'd need to have an end if for every one of them.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to just go ahead and put that in. So, I might as well put another button. Why don't you do it, and then I'll do it too, instead of watching me do it. Just add another button to your form. So I'm bringing up the toolbox, and I'm going to pick up Common Controls, Button, and I'm just going to add a button here. And it's going to call it Button 1, and I'm happy with that right now because I'm just playing. So now I've got button 1 on there, and then I'm going to double click on button 1 so that I can put the code in. Okay, so I'm going to copy and paste this so that I have a little less typing to do, and I'm going to fix this up so that I have... So I'm saying, if okay, then I'm going to say else, and when I say else, then I'm going to have another if here. So I'm saying here, if it's greater than 12, then college. Else, now I'm checking to see if it's greater than 8. And if it's greater than 8, high school. Else, I'm putting in, if text grade is greater than 6, then... text grade, else it's elementary school. Okay, so what do I need to do when I'm doing this? I need to end up putting an end if for each of my ifs. Okay, so that's the end of that if, that's the end of that if. This one doesn't have an end if yet. Or actually, wait a minute. Yes, this one needs an end if as well. And all the red lines have gone away now, so I've got enough. So with this, doing just the if, this if goes with that end if. This if goes with that end if. This if goes with that one, and this one goes with that one. And in between, I've got else's in all of them. Okay. So if I do else if as two separate words, then I need end ifs with all of them. If I do an else if, that's more like what we call a case structure. So I just can do else if, else if, else if, and then a final else and an end if. Okay, so when I break it up and I have the else separate from the if, they need separate end ifs. Questions? Okay.
Okay. Okay, the next one, actually I think I'll look at the one here for get number. And then I'll go back up and look at the others. Okay, so this has get number. So I'm entering K-11 or 101. And when I click on get just number, I get the 101.
So, what this is doing is it first has to find the hyphen. Okay. So I define some work areas. Work hyphen is going to be the location of the hyphen. Work location, work room. Okay, so those are going to be what I'm looking for. So work location, I am putting text location into it. And text location is the K-101. And then I'm saying, okay. So I put in here the K-101. Okay. Then I said, okay, the work hyphen is going to tell me where the hyphen is. And so I said, work location dot index of hyphen. So that tells me that it wants to know where the index, what index, where hyphen is, what the index is of the location of hyphen. Okay. And then we say, okay, now that I know where the hyphen is, I want to get a part of work location, which is a substring. I want to get a substring of work hyphen plus one. Because I know where the hyphen is, the room number starts in the very next character. So it's the substring of work hyphen plus one. Okay. If I put in here message show or message box, work hyphen. Okay. Is it? So is it message box dot show? I guess I have to write. I think I can write just MSGBOX. That's what I think I was trying to write. Let me see. MSGBOX.
That's how you used to do it.
Yeah. And I think that still holds. Yeah. So that's why I was not putting the show on. I was thinking of message box. I can say message box dot show the hyphen, or this old left thing that's still hanging around that is just message box. And that is really a valuable thing when you're trying to use it the way I'm trying to use it, which is I want to see something quick and dirty, and then I'm going to get rid of it. So message box shows that to me very easily without much writing. Okay. So I've got in here K-101. Okay, so I'm going to say get just number. And it comes up and says the location of the hyphen is -1. And then it tells me that another time. Okay, then I'm going to put in here thank you.
Yeah, I don't know what that negative one was about. Because maybe that was, I don't know what that was about. It shouldn't have been there, but now it's working. Okay, so if I say get just number, it shows one. Okay, and as I've mentioned before in other classes, you have to check and see whether when they're starting to count, they're counting starting with zero or counting starting with one. Okay, and so this is a good way to check. It's coming up one. And the number that I'm looking for is... Okay. The number that I'm looking for is K101. So this would be the zero character, the hyphen would be the one character. Okay? Now sometimes there are things that start with one, and a test like this tells you which one it is. So this, the hyphen is in the one character. Okay? So that tells me that K is in the zeroth character and the hyphen is in the one character. And I did it two ways, so I'm going to see the one again. And now I'm seeing take hyphen and add one to it, which gives me a two. Okay? So zero, one, two. 101, the one of 101, is in the second character. Okay? So I'm saying, take the substring of work hyphen plus one. Okay? And because I didn't put anything else in this substring, it goes to the end of the field. So it takes the 101. Okay, if I only wanted to show two characters, so notice it says substring, and you put the starting point, start index, and then you put the length, which is how many characters you wanted to take. Okay, so I wanted to take two characters. And let me take that over and put that in here. Yes, I stopped it. Okay. So if I wanted to have two characters, then I can put in here K-101 and say get just number, and it's now giving me that negative one again. And I don't quite know why it's doing that, and it just crashed. And if I continue... That's an interesting problem. And I'm not going to debug that now, but I will try debugging it later. Okay. K-101. Get just the number. And now it's doing one. I do not know why the flying saucer occasionally gave me a negative one. It should have given me one. Now it's giving me one.
Didn't you put it in the bottom box before?
Maybe that's what I did. I put it in down here or down there.
It was that one, yeah.
Okay, that would do it. And I made the same stupid mistake twice. Not bad. Okay, so now, notice I just get 1, 0. Because substring said, start at 2, okay, and go for 2.
So that means if I start at 2, that means start at 2, and the length is 2, so there's the length. So it started at 2 and took 2, so there's the length.
Okay. If you don't put a length in, it goes to the end of the field. And then the last one up here was, if the string is empty, I wanted to put out nothing entered. Else, I want to trim the text, and then I want to put it out. And if there is nothing in the box, I'm also writing nothing in text box to a different text box. So the first one is called textname.text. And so if I run this, and if I put Susan Adams, and I say get name, and I am getting them both, and it's telling me 16. Okay, and why isn't it trimming? Work name equals text name dot text, and I'm trimming it. It worked for me last night when I was doing these. That should have trimmed out the spaces there. Okay, that one trimmed.
Okay, so trimmed on the inside. I guess it's that kind of a trim. So I put in the spaces there. When I trimmed it off, it trimmed out the spaces at the beginning and just gave me the name.
And then I'm showing the regular stuff on the second box down. Okay. I also thought it trimmed out middle ones. This is the one I actually tried last night and it worked. But I also thought it trimmed out excessive middles. Okay, so that's the way that works. Okay, so what I want you to do now is that's a bunch of the if statements. And we have a half an hour, so we'll probably pick up some time on this also on Thursday. I want you to go and download this in-class if assignment.
I am taking, I have spots for you to take in a code, take in field 1, 2, and 3, and then write out an answer here.
And there are 7 different things that I want you to do. And if you go in and look at them, okay, write the code to check code for A and field 1 greater than 5,000. Or check the code for B and field 2 greater than 2,500. Respond with okay or problem. Do it once with separate if statements, and then on button 2, do it with 1 if statement. Okay, so we went over if statements on last Thursday. We looked at them a little bit today. I'd like you to try to get started on these, and we'll see how far we get. But I want you to start out by writing this. Okay?
So write the code, take out the comments, and write the code to check for A and field greater than A,
or B and feel greater than 2,500. So what I'm looking for is if it's A, I want to have field one greater than 5,000. And if it is, I'm going to put out okay. If it's A and it's not, I'm going to put out problem. If it's not A, then I want to ask if it's B. And if it's B, I want field two to be greater than 2,500. And if it is, then it's okay. Otherwise, it is problem. And if B, if the code isn't either A or B, it's also a problem. So that's the flow chart that goes with that.
So please try writing that out. And I actually want to get an attendance sheet. So, okay, so try writing out the code for that in the little routine that I've set up for you. Every once in a while, but remember to take them. Do remember that if you're in the class, I need to get an email from you once a week. That's how I really take attendance. Periodically, I do it this way. But I need to get an email from you once a week, and that tells me you're in class. And it would be nice if that email was accompanied with an assignment. Well, that all depends on whether you want to just sit in on the class or take the class. Take the class involves you giving me stuff.
I spent like maybe a half an hour more doing the memo and staring at it over and over, not realizing I just didn't upload it. It was completed. Didn't upload it.
Yes, I can do it.
The quiz is from last week. This week, right?
Yeah. Thank you. Somebody's. Who lost a pen?
Which pen is it?
No. Okay, there are six people here. Who's missing a pen?
Last class.
I'll take it if you don't want it.
So the first one is all separate if statements. And go over to the form and figure out what I call things. Like I'm asking about the check code, the code, and the field one and field two. So go over and make sure what I call those by looking at the form. There should be a lot of keying going on now. So if I go back and look at the design, the part is called text code, text field 1, text field 2, text field 3. So I know what they are. So I'm coming over here and saying if text code is equal to an A. So that is the first question that I'm going to ask. Textcode.text. And now I've got to go back and look and see what I call that. I called it text result. So that's where I'm going to put things. Okay. So just to get you started on this one, I say if textcode.text equals A, then I ask, is text field 1 dot text greater than 5,000? If it is, then put text result dot text, make it have the word okay in it. Okay. So that's the way to get started on this one. And notice that it very nicely put in the end ifs for me, because whenever I use an if, it sets up the end ifs. Now I got to go back and insert some more stuff in here. But at times I say thank you for putting in the end ifs, and at times I curse them for putting in the end ifs because it gets in my way. Thank you. Questions?
Instead of it, instead of things that you can't use, just LCIFs.
Could you use LCIFs? In not a lot of cases here, because these are asking different fields. LCIF.
Alright, now I see what you're saying. Never mind. Because code A and field 1 is different than code B.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, all these are four different things.
Anybody got it done?
Down here, it's A and that. Then you have to go into the OR. The then would then be down at the bottom. But you need to go into the OR. I get the first one done first.
This one, if you look back at the flowchart that I drew, there is one, two places that we say okay, and one, two, three places that we say problem. Okay?
So far I have written A, and if F1 is greater than 5,000, okay. Now I need an else over here for problem, right?
So now I come over here and I'm going to add a else. And the else says text result.text equals a problem. Because if it is code A and it's not greater than 5,000, then it's a problem.
So I'm adding in problem there.
We can compound the problem. We can compound problem throughout that, right? Because that's going to be the only.
Yeah, well, I don't think compound is the word you're looking for, because I asked, you can copy and paste. Okay, so I said now. So that ends.
What I've ended here is I have got this entire thing taken care of. Now I need to put in an else for the if it's not A. And my else if it's not A is going to do what? What's it going to check for? It's going to check for B. So if it's not A, I'm going to check for B. So what am I going to write next? After the first end if, what am I going to put next?
Else if?
Else. I'm just going to put an else. And then I'm going to put an if. Okay? So I'm now saying if text code dot text equals B, then, and what do I put on the next line? That's right. If text field 2.text is greater than 2,500, and then what do I put?
Text result okay.
Text result is okay. And now what do? I need to cover everything, and if I need to cover everything, I need an else there. And what is the else going to say?
Text result on text equals problem.
Right. Okay. Am I done?
I've got this one. I've got this one. I've got this having an else. But the text equal to B just has an end if. It doesn't have an else. Okay, so this one needs an else. Okay, because I have, if text isn't equal to B, I'm not telling it anything to do. So that needs an else. Okay, so I now have to put it in right here and say else text
result.text equals equals problem. Okay. So now I go back and I look at it and I say, okay, if, else, and if. So every if has an else, so I have an option for them all, and so I've covered the situation. Okay. Is that what you had? Close? Okay. And now what you want to do is take this and put it into a single if statement. Okay, so how did you do that? Has anybody done that? No. Then we won't say, how did you do that? We'll say, please do that. And we will look at some of these on Thursday as well. I'm not guaranteeing we'll have time to finish them, but we'll at least go over them on Thursday as well.
Just like in JavaScript, right?
You can just use the word and.
Simple enough.
Visual Basic tends to more speak in English. Okay, this is the one that we went over. And there's the ands and the ors. This is the example. It's called Project Intro If, and it was under Chapter 4.
Okay.
And that's what we went over last Thursday. So if you haven't gone over this one, the smart board notes and the audio are out there, but you really should take a look at this program, because this is where I got into a bunch of different ifs and ands and ors and all that good stuff. So it's called Project Intro If, and you really should look at it. Okay, we are done.